Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the River Heights Buzz podcast. This is episode 127. I am one of your hosts. I'm Alexa. Candace is not here this week. She had some work stuff come up, but I am joined by wonderful returning guest, Salsa.
Yay! Thank you for having me again. So excited to be back.
Thank you for being able to join me today. Today, we will be talking about mysteries number 38, the mystery of the fire dragon. There was lots of dragons and dragon talk in this book.
Very dragon heavy, if you will.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's not really any news stuff going on. Hopefully we'll hear more. Actually, there is a little bit of news. We actually got to hear about and see the new little, I guess, the desktop picture for the new game. Ooh. Did you see that, Salsa?
Yes. What did you think?
I liked it.
I liked it too. What did you think? I liked it too. I wasn't, you know, you never really know what to expect. So I was always kind of eagerly awaiting. So I was pleasantly surprised, like always. I was happy with it. It's a little taste. It'll do for now.
And there's been lots of speculation. I feel like, obviously, some of the games that they've done in the past, they've released the little desktop image. And then within like a short amount of time-ish, then the game comes out. So hopefully this means that within the next few months, the game does come out. Fingers crossed. Just have to wait and see.
I hope so. So I'm going to have something new to play.
Yeah. I'm excited. Reserved a little bit because after what happened with Mid, we'll see how this goes. But hopefully it's a good game.
Fingers crossed. We'll just wait and see. But I'm excited. I think, like, based on what I saw, I think it's promising, I think.
There's not really anything other newsy stuff, I don't think, going on. But, yeah, everyone, if you want to send us emails, messages, voice messages, all that kind of stuff is open. Or where you can find us is always in the descriptions of our episodes and everywhere, so. If you want to do any of that, feel free to. Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything. Are you ready to get into the book, Salsa?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Okay, I have a description for the book. And it says, Eloise Drew asks her niece to investigate the disappearance of her neighbor, a young university student. In New York, Nancy, Bess, and George are drawn into the intrigue and danger of a smuggling ring. Nancy plans a clever ruse. George is disguised as a missing Chinese girl. The girl detective is also suspicious of an unpleasant bookstore owner and his loud, overbearing female customer. A series of clues lead the girls to Hong Kong. Ned, who is studying in Hong Kong, joins them. The amateur detectives follow more clues to the international smuggling ring. And an important note here, too, it says, this book is the original text, and a revised text does not exist. It says it was first published January 1st, 1961.
Mm. Yes, so this is one of the original 56 in the mystery series, which is, I think I told you like 1,000 times, it's like my favorite. I'm big on the, so it's interesting though that they didn't have a revised text for that one. But, you know, I also think it's interesting that they gave away a pretty significant part of the, you know, like that was a pretty big plot point with George, but we'll get into that. But they just gave that right away, didn't they?
I'll share my thoughts when we get to the certain points.
I will be patient. I'll be a good girl and wait, I promise.
before we actually jump into the book, there are quite a few like Chinese and those kinds of names. If I do say any of them wrong, I do apologize. I'm just saying them how I think they are said. So I'm just throwing that out there now, just as a heads up. So are you ready to dive in, Salsa?
Let's solve this mystery, Alexa.
Let's do this. So, as I said in the description, Ned is in Hong Kong as an exchange student, and he has learned some Cantonese, and he wants to go into the United Service, which I feel like we've never heard about before, which is interesting.
Yeah, because usually we hear about him being the star football player at Emerson College, you know, a school not that far away from River Heights. But I wonder if that has to do with the fact with the times that it was published in, because I know, like, politically there were issues with, you know, like with the Soviet Union and I think China at that time, and Hong Kong were having like territorial issues. So I wonder if that was like a nod to the political climate.
Yeah. Then we go on to get a call from Aunt Eloise. She says that she got a strange note from her young neighbor that she's in trouble. The police must not be notified. She's away, or her grand, and if anyone finds out, or her grandfather will be harmed. And the granddaughter's name is Chai Chi. She's an orphan, and she's staying with her grandpa, Grandpa Soong. Song. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And apparently Nancy knows the plan schedule off by heart, I feel like, but it didn't say that she went to go check for her to be able to go see Aunt Eloise in New York.
Nancy's going to try to do it all anyway. So it wouldn't have, even if the itinerary wouldn't have called for it, she still would have found a way to go.
Yeah. And then, of course, Carson has a case in Hong Kong that he needs Nancy's help with. And when I read this, I was like, are these two cases going to be connected again somehow? Like, it has another of stories. But it wasn't, which is
unexpected. Okay. Yeah, because I think, you know, if you think about it, the last book that we read, that when we were together, we talked about, it was the two cases where connected. So I wonder what the connection is. Well, I always find myself wondering, what is the connection? Because usually if Carson's gonna be in it, Nancy somehow finds her way and vice versa. So it was interesting to see that.
Yeah. So of course, Bess and George get approval to go along on the trip, which is always nice to see Bess and George in the books. Yeah. But to me, Nancy, or one of them, says that they bring their birth certificate with them when they travel. To me, that seems really risky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you.
You know,
it's like, what if you lose it?
Yeah, and then, you know, my thought process was, well, if you have your passport, that is essentially like all of those documents combined. So, like, I don't know. I didn't think that was the most practical idea.
Yeah. Or it could just be like a copy of it. I have no idea. But like, still, either way, that's a really risky thing to carry along.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting as well. And I didn't really, I didn't understand the rationale behind it. But I mean, it has to be a copy. Because what if you lose it in like Hong Kong? It's not like you can get it scanned and emailed or whatnot. And I was, I always go down like the rabbit hole of what about identity theft? And, because I read too many of these books.
So then eventually the friends get to New York. They go see Aunt Eloise. But then when, I guess they heard something at the door, as they're going out into the hallway, a loud bang went off with a flash. And there was a person wearing dark trousers that was running away. And we don't know what the loud bang was at this point. I'm like, what is going on? Then we find out that it was a firecracker. And I'm like, how is that legal inside a building? Like, and wouldn't there be, like, I don't know if there were sprinkler systems back then, because I'm assuming that there would be, like that fiery kind of smell, you know, and smoke. Yeah, like a fire alarm system going on.
Something. Or at least a smoke detector, some kind of indication. I guess this must be either like a super duper old building, or I don't know. And I don't know. That's a good point. But yeah, I don't know. Because what would they have had in the 60s? Would they have had sprinklers or some kind of a form of a sprinkler? Do we know?
I have no idea.
But you know, safety's never at the, like, is never the top priority in novels.
I'm gonna look up that now.
Because if you remember when they were at the chalet at the ski resort, it was every liability under the sun. Doors that lead to nowhere, missing keys.
Yeah.
Crumbling steps.
I'm surprised that there wasn't really anything. Oh, when did smoke alarms become available? In 1905, Stanley Bennett Peterson and Dwayne D. Pearsall invented the first home smoke detector. This device was cheap enough to be installed in most homes, although it was not widely used in homes until the 1970s.
Oh, so probably there was probably nothing there. Just the sound of that bang to let you know that you're in peril.
Yeah. So then my question was, the firecracker that went off, it could have been meant for Grant Besong, which this whole story is based on him and mm-hmm. Chai Chi. So then the group went to go talk to Grant Besong, and he showed the group a picture of Chai Chi. And George looks very much like her, because as we know, George has the short hair kind of look. Yeah. Grandpa Song ended up describing the dragon symbol that was at the bottom of the note page that was left for him before her indefinite holiday with friends, in quotes. And to me, that seems really fishy, because, like, why would she just up and leave all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm. Especially when, you know, her granddad is like, it's, you know, according to what we had learned, he was, you know, he's like her only, like, familial connection in the area. She doesn't have anybody else, so I feel like that's weird that she would just, like, up and leave him.
Yeah. And then Nancy got the idea about keeping, because apparently there's a connecting door between Aunt Eloise's apartment and Grandpa Song's apartment. So Nancy thought that, you know, keeping the doors unlocked just so that they can go back and forth without being seen in the hallway by the neighbors. And to me, that reminds me of, you know, like hotels and stuff.
That's connecting exactly door. What I was going to say. You read my mind. I was like a hotel.
but luckily there's almost like, and it's almost like there's this like a banner or something in the door to make it seem like there's a door there and not like a way to go back and forth, you know what I mean? So then of course George agrees. She's gonna be portraying Chai Chi throughout different points of the book, and my question is, what if someone starts talking to her in a different language and she doesn't understand what they're saying?
I think the assumption is, and this is going to sound terrible on my part, is that, like, miraculously, she would be the only person in Chinatown that doesn't speak Cantonese or Mandarin. So I think they just assumed that she was just going to be able to, like, you know, no one would speak to her, or she would have to have no interaction. But, you know, I think, you know, I think they just... What I love / hate, it's like a love-hate thing, is that I love that, like, Nancy's always very decisive in her actions, but sometimes I think she forgets, like, some of the smaller details. But, I mean, Because every, you know, not everybody speaks Chinese, you know, Cantonese, but especially not in Chinatown. But no, I think that honestly, I think that they were just so eager to execute and get it resolved. I don't think they thought that part out. But I also thought that that really also did put George in danger, because what if somebody were assuming me? Anyway, I'm gonna let that.
Yeah. Then we learn that Grandpa Song, he's writing a book, and he ended up digging up information about an ancient frieze, and nobody will know about it or its exact origin until his book gets published. And that's, I wonder how thick that book would be, because he's been working on it for quite some time.
It has to be massive, because if you think about just the context of Chinese history, it's like, so it's one of the oldest civilizations. So you already know it's going to be a lengthy tome for sure. It's going to take a minute to read.
Yeah.
And I think it didn't it say that he's been working on it for years. I don't remember exactly how long, but I know like it's something that he's definitely been putting like a ton of effort into for a really significant amount of time. So I could imagine it's going to be like, like this bit. Like a phone book size.
Yeah. Like the old fashioned phone books, not just the skinny ones now that you have in your phone.
Back in the 90s, in this mythical distant time, we used to have phone books, and they were very, very thick. But you could look up people's phone numbers, but you have to memorize them.
I know. I remember those. Then I guess the girls went to the local bookstore. And the owner, Mr. Stromberg, sells a fine collection of foreign books, according to a Mrs. Truesdale, and she's annoyed for having to wait for him. She was a character throughout the whole book. And it's interesting that part of her last name is True, but she's not very truthful at all in the book.
Oh my gosh. You know, I love the way that one of my favorite parts about the way that the characters are described in all, no matter what kind of, you know, what series you're reading is that you can always tell when somebody is going to be like permanently unpleasant throughout the series because of the way that they're described. And I knew the way that they described her. I was like, oh, she's going to be a pain. She is not going to be helpful or friendly in any way, shape or form. But of course, the same for Miss Truesdale, just to give you a glimmer of hope.
So it was just Nancy and Bess that went to the bookstore. They didn't learn anything because we found out that Chai Chi actually worked at Mr. Stromberg's store. And of course she's not there because she's apparently gone off with some friends on this trip. They end up going back to the apartment. They heard a scream, and it was from Mr. Song's apartment, or Grandpa Song, and he was barely conscious when they found him, and he said, "Stole my manuscript."
Oh.
So someone must have got in somehow, and then they took his manuscript that he was working on.
The first thing that popped into my head was like, oh my gosh, they broke in through Mrs. Drew's door and that's how they got in. But I felt so bad because, you know, I have a soft spot for the fact that, you know, he's her grandpa. And I was like, oh no, like, not what, you didn't have to hurt him. He would have given you what you wanted. But I just couldn't imagine, like, you know, not only are you physically assaulted, but on top of that, like, your life's work is like gone and your granddaughter's gone and you have zero answers. Like, how mortifying. And I also keep forgetting, you know, I'm so like in, you know, I'm so wrapped up in this side of it that Nancy has like only a few days because she's supposed to be going off to Hong Kong. So it's not like she has like, and she has a really finite amount of time. So
yeah. Because obviously, like, there's could be multiple ways that the culprit could have gotten away. So Nancy decides that she's going to go, the elevator's just going to take way too long. She's going to go down the stairs inside the building. But then she didn't see anyone. So, but I'm thinking, could there have been possibly the fire escape stairs outside? But I don't know. Like, obviously not all apartment buildings have those. So, I don't know.
And I wonder, because of the fact that they have a locked door between, like, the apartments, I wonder if this is more of, like, a brownstone where it's a smaller apartment where you have, you know, like, the apartments themselves used to be, like, large rooms or, like, grand rooms. So I'm curious. That was something I was wondering even in the beginning when you had mentioned about the firecrackers. I was like, I wonder if this is an older building so it wouldn't have those amenities that the newer residential homes would have. But who knows? And, you know, the criminals will escape in any number of ways in the novel. Yeah. So you never really know.
Yeah, that's true. They call Aunt Eloise's doctor. He comes by, checks out Grandpa Song, and his condition is that the result of fear and a hard blow, so he has to go to the hospital for a while. Mm-hmm. So that means that obviously his apartment's going to be empty for at least a week or more until he recovers. And then Nancy didn't know if the small man, because apparently it was a small man who attacked Grandpa Song, if he was the same man that Nancy saw in the hallway after the first firecracker incident. Mm-hmm. Chai Chi could have been taken and her key could have been used to get into the apartment instead of it just being broken in, because it didn't look like there was any kind of forced entry. The next day, actually, Nancy and George decided to stay the night in Grandpa Song's apartment just to make sure, like, everything was okay. The next morning, they heard, like, the buzzer ringing directly to the apartment. So Nancy and George quietly go to Aunt Eloise's apartment, look out in the hallway, and it's Mr. Stromberg. And apparently you had to get a buzzer before you could actually go up to the apartments and then ring the door buzzer to get into the apartment, like the actual apartment, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes. The only reason I know this is because I watched Seinfeld. And in Seinfeld, they usually, so like, if there's no doorman, like, they have to get buzzed in. So I guess it opens like the main door. And then once you get to the apartment, then you would ring like the doorbell or knock on the door. So that, I think that's, but then who let him up? So he let him up though.
And I think that was, wasn't it George who said it, that it, she, he could have come in as someone was going out, so he wouldn't have even had to buzz.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that could have been it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't ever know how people get in and out in the novels. We never really established that.
That's true.
They just link on by.
Yeah. We then call the police again and, you know, get fingerprints, all that kind of stuff. And the prints, actually, I think this was earlier. The police took prints, but they didn't belong to anyone in the building. And we meet Captain Gray, who will hear different points throughout the book. And he seems happy to be working with Nancy to solve the case, which isn't always the case, because there's cops just in general that are like, no, this is a cop's work. Just leave it to us. Do your own thing. We don't need help. You know, George ended up getting dressed as Chai Chi. Mm-hmm. And she's nervous, which we very rarely see George get nervous about anything. And very rarely does Bess chide George about anything, because as they're styling George's hair, it's like very hard to design, like how in Chai Chi's picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nancy got the idea to just like wet George's hair to style it better. So she got all dressed up, good to go, looks like Chai Chi. Then I guess they decided to stop at the hospital to see Grandpa Song, see how he's doing. George went on ahead first just to get going, and then Nancy and Bess were behind her just keeping an eye on her just to make sure everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And And apparently, like, as they were walking, there was this car driving slowly, watching George, which is very creepy.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, who is this person? What's he doing? This sounds like trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as George got into the hospital, the car and the man took off. It's like, see you, bye. George went into the gift shop. So then that way, Bess and Nancy went up to see Grandpa Song just to see how he's doing. Grandpa Song asked Nancy to answer his phone if it rang and bring him any mail while he stays in the hospital for a week or so. And apparently there was a message from Mr. Stromberg, like wanting to see how he was doing. And how did Mr. Stromberg know that Grandpa Song was in the hospital and that he got attacked?
Yeah, because
unless he's
responsible for it, there's no explanation.
Yeah. My only thought was that he's part of this gang somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then I think, if I remember correctly, when they went to go visit Grandpa Song, he had the bouquet of the, I might be getting ahead of myself, but I believe he had the bouquet of the yellow chrysanthemums, and the note had the same, let me check my notes. It had the same, the hand-painted
like that paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, you know, Mr. Stromberg and Miss Truesdale, they're on my radar. They were on my radar from the second, like, you know, they were introduced, because usually if they're rude to Nancy, they're usually up to no good, because it's not like a short-term unpleasantness. This means they're in cahoots with evil.
Yeah. And then, so everyone, Nancy, Bess, George, they're all leaving the hospital. But then a young, slender man with reddish hair ended up grabbing George on the campus, because they went to the campus just to see if anyone would recognize, air quotes, Chai Chi. And the mystery man asked how she got away, and he thought that she was actually Chai Chi.
And like,
that's scary.
And so, and she just shrugs, because she's still playing along. She's not going to say anything. She's just like, I don't know. And
I'm
so
not saying anything.
Because the second she knew, and that was smart of her, because she knew the second she opened her mouth, it was like, with her River Heights accent, you know, he'd know immediately, like, oh, yeah, you're not Chai Chi. I don't know, like, that would, I always, you know, I love George's gusto and her fearlessness, and I really respect it, because I lack that. I don't know that I'd be like, no, Nancy, you cannot dress me up. Because I'd have, you know, I'm more of a Bess, I think. I like to think I'm George, but I'm definitely a Bess.
Yeah. Nancy ended up calling to George, and wasn't it that the man in the car called someone and they were like, let's just go. I got in touch with somebody, and the mystery man that grabbed George, he got in the car and the two of them took off.
Yeah.
And then when that happened,
randomly too, that's the thing that I thought was interesting. They just like let her go and just like left.
Nancy then told George to go back to the apartment and wait for them while her and Bess follow that car. He was going to take George. But the taxi driver was not really in a rush to follow them, the car. But Bess kind of worked her magic, and the taxi followed the car into Chinatown. And once they got to Chinatown, they took off running. So Nancy and Bess obviously went, followed them, asked around, and no one saw anything, was not helpful. And then they eventually found a shop where the envelopes and the dragon paper came from. And they ended up not even bothering trying to follow the men anymore. Then we learn from the shopkeeper that a man named Ryle was trying to sell him jade, mm-hmm. but the shopkeeper refused to buy it because he didn't want to get into trouble because he didn't know if it was actually the real thing or fake, mm-hmm. which was smart. And then we switched to George's point of view. And as she was going to obviously go back to the apartment, she meets someone named Lily Alice Wu. And obviously Lily Alice thought that George was Tai Chi, but then realized it's actually George. And she asked if she could get the job at the bookstore. And at first, George didn't know if she could trust Lily Alice because he didn't know how many people were involved in the smuggling kidnapping situation. But then she eventually decided that she could trust Lily Alice. But she was really guarded with her statements at first. And then somehow we find out that Grandpa Song's story about what happened got into the paper. It didn't seem like there were any reporters that showed up at the apartment, but it could have got leaked somehow or whatever it was. Eventually, Bess and Nancy make it back to the apartment. George and Nancy talked in one of the rooms and agreed for Lily Alice to apply for the job at the bookstore. And hopefully she could get some inside information, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, about what's going on. Then we find out from the police that Bess and Nancy, the two men that they were following, the car that they had was stolen. And then we also see that as they were out, the two of them forgot to lock the door to Aunt Eloise's apartment. So someone was snooping in there, which was like always something always happens like that, I feel like.
I always think like, you guys are so smart. You plan all these like safeguards, but you always forget to like lock the door. Or if you have like a slip of paper with information, you forget to put it in your purse. So you leave it like out on the counter. You know, it's always something like they always get got by these like small little like things. And it's like, I don't know. And I feel like in this case, because there's such an element of danger, like, why wouldn't you think to lock the door? But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So then the group ends up looking around the apartments just to be sure if there was nothing else taken. And they find out that the picture of Chai Chi and the note to Grandpa Song were taken. Which is, yeah, okay. It seemed, so Aunt Eloise was going to make something for dinner that she had in the fridge. And as she went to preheat it, she was walking away. There was some kind of bomb or whatever it was in the oven. And the oven door flew off and it hit Aunt Eloise in the head and knocked her over. And I'm like, she is very lucky that it didn't kill her.
Girl, when I read that, I was like, oh no. And that's game over for Aunt Eloise. Cause you know, oven doors, I would imagine even then were not like small dainty things. And all I could just see, it's almost like the cartoon version where you see like that door, like just knocking her out of the way. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that lets me know that either, which is weird because like as a reader, I don't feel like we have like all these clues sorted out. We have our suspicions, but I don't feel like we're anywhere near cracking the case, but obviously she must be closer. They must be getting closer than what we think because, I mean, to threaten somebody, and this is the second incident in, what, like 2-3 days where somebody has been on the brink of death because, you know, Mr. Song, there was no, you know, I feel like he got lucky with the injuries that he sustained. And, I mean, getting hit by an oven door, I mean, that can't be, you know, a Band-Aid and Neosporin kind of situation, you know?
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is just scary stuff, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, everyone gets out of the kitchen because we don't know if it was going to be some kind of something else in the air, whatever it was. Nancy goes back to check, and she ends up seeing like small little like particles, and it was another firecracker in the stove, the oven, I mean. Oh boy. The neighbors then knocked on the door and were not happy with everything going on and all the loud noises and stuff. So then George ends up going and telling one of the woman neighbors that maybe she should move, because if she didn't like all the stuff going on, she should just go somewhere else to live. And the woman was like, well, maybe Aunt Eloise and the songs should move, because they're the ones causing all this trouble. She didn't have to be so snarky.
It was giving real New Yorker energy, you know. You want real New York City energy? Boom, here you go. They were angry. But I thought it was just, you know, in a way I was like, well, Georgia, she does kind of have a point. You got firecrackers going off and people getting knocked out. Like, George, they already have to deal with living in a big city. Like, they don't need this on top of that. I like Nancy's
response. My question is, how did the woman know that there was going to be, that there was another, like, a firecracker in the oven? Nancy didn't say.
I feel like there's a busybody in that building, because, you know, they knew about the intruders. They knew about the firecrackers. And to my knowledge, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, if they saw the police officers when Mr. Song was injured. But I mean, other than that, like, they're very like astute, aren't they? This is a very astute neighborhood. Maybe they should have like a neighborhood watch if they feel so unsafe.
Yeah. Eventually, you know, find out some information from a different neighbor saying that she saw something, some stuff going on. But, you know, everyone then agrees that they're going to keep an eye out just in case there's anything else that's going to happen, anything else that's fishy. And then they all go back to their apartments. Bess, of course, always wants to give up the sleuthing when things get tough and scary.
She's done.
Like, I love Bess, but she sometimes, I feel like, needs to get a backbone.
Bess is, you know, at the, like, for her, if there's a prospect of, like, minor inconvenience or danger or a lack of, like, a good meal, that's it for her. She's not, like, having it. She's not having it, kids. But, you know, but I feel like, you know, I kind of understand her, because I always jokingly say I'm the best, but I also do think it's all, I do feel like, you know, for somebody like this, this is like, this has to be super exciting at the same time, because you get to do stuff that I feel like River Heights is not known for, you know, it's like sense of adventure. It doesn't, you know, other than Nancy solving crimes and stuff like that. So I feel like for them, you know, to be able to like see the world with Nancy and be able to like do cool stuff like this, it has to be exciting. But yeah, she's, at the slightest inconvenience, she's already ready. Like, you know what? I'm done. Let me hop back on my flight home. Y'all figure it out. But she's already tapped out like 3 times already.
Yep. We then get a call from Lily Alice saying that she got the job at the shop. And Nancy thought of the idea that if her, Bess, and George go in to look around, there won't be any kind of like recognition between any of them, just so that Lily Alice doesn't get in trouble. And Nancy goes on to think and is worried that Chai Chi was abducted and was taken out of the country, which is a very good possibility. Then the note and the envelope that Nancy took from the hospital, she took it to the police station just to get it analyzed for any kind of forgeries. And it was forged by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So then Captain Gray ended up showing Nancy kind of like the difference between certain letters, because like how they're written, that way she could tell which one was like forged.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that was doing the forging could be like one of the kidnappers. She could be the wife of one of the guys. anything's possible like that. And later on, Lily Alice got in touch with Nancy. Actually, I think, wasn't it Nancy went to the bookstore to check around?
Yes.
And Lily Alice found a blank page in with the dragon picture at the bottom in the shop. But when Nancy went to go check it, the book was empty. Mm-hmm. It could have been like a special spot for messages going back and forth between people, you know, anything like that. If people wanted to mark a certain page, but I feel like it's like a message book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then what was interesting is that when she was, if my memory serves me correctly, when she's, she decides to like get the book, and then like Mr. Stromberg is like, no book for you. You cannot have it.
And he was like, so like upset with it too, because he's like, it's, you know, out of date. It's not for sale, you know, like this just all of a sudden. And he even left the customer he was helping to go over to Nancy and purposely take it out of her hands.
No, that's what made me laugh. It was like, you knew like that book, that was like, to me, that's like such a dead giveaway, because literally, you know, like I'm over here talking about buying a book, he's like, hand to the face, no. And what's interesting is that like he gets so worked up about like not selling her that book. I think it's like in the book it even says like he gets red in the face, like flushed with anger, because he was just, it was too much. It was like the reaction was just too much for me. And I don't know, in the book that I read, there's like a lithograph of him. You just see like the rage in his face. I am not telling you that book. It was just very odd. And I think that, you know, like Nancy was instantly like, he's totally hiding something. Like he has to be. What is he hiding? Why is he so adamant about not selling you the book?
I just kind of thought of a joke in a way. I'm surprised that he did not turn into a fire breathing dragon.
We got jokes tonight. Jokes and mystery.
Or at least it's good. You know?
Listen, it was, I love it. No, he really was a fire breathing dragon though. Just, and like his reaction was just that, just like a snap reaction. Like I would not be shopping at his bookstore if I were that customer, because you're just gonna leave me to go yell at some girl over a book on Asia. It was really weird energy. But what's funny is that Nancy did a good job, because she still kept her cool. She's like, okay, if you won't sell it, you won't sell it. Just sell me the other book. I don't think she'll be welcome though at the store again.
Later on though, Lily Alice gets in touch with Nancy and says that she essentially got fired from the job, even though she was there for like a day. Because it seemed like, obviously, I guess Mr. Dragon found out that she was helping Nancy. So, which was unfortunate, because, you know, we didn't want that to happen. Aunt Eloise ended up sending Bess out for some groceries too, but she hadn't gotten back to the apartment, which was strange, but she should have been back by now. Mm-hmm. And everyone was getting worried. Like, what's going on? We have to go out and find her. And we do learn that Bess did get kidnapped by a woman who seemed friendly at the grocery store where Aunt Eloise sent her. And a man was in a car. He had red hair. And they kidnapped her. And took her someplace, blindfolded her, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they want to know Nancy's plans and what she's up to. And of course, I don't blame Bess for being terrified, because I'm like, I don't want to give anything away. I'm scared, all that kind of stuff, you know. So luckily, Bess improvised a story to the captors about Nancy doing research on Hong Kong and on people who have, and she saying Nancy was going to talk to people who have been there to help Carson for a case that he's working on, which was smart. So he's, you know, not sharing the actual plans about what's happening. So then the couple end up, they're like, okay, fine, we'll let you go now. They take Bess somewhere, leave her on the side of the road that doesn't have much traffic, and someone eventually saved her. Which I'm like, okay. We're like, glad that she got saved, but how did these people know where to find her?
And again, I don't know, like, I would probably be so terrified that I probably wouldn't want to be, I wouldn't want to be picked up by anybody in particular, because I wouldn't know, like, is it, you know, I don't know, it would be too jarring of an experience for me. But I commend Bess, because even in, like, her helplessness, she, you know, she was smart enough to, like, you could tell she's been hanging out with Nancy for a minute, because she did kind of follow, like, the right steps, you know, but... It was a really jarring. I thought it was for Bess in particular, that has to have been like probably one of the more jarring experiences that she's gone through. Because usually, I mean, they might get hurt, but never kidnapped. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and she was threatened to not to like tell the story about what happened to anybody, including the police, or else people would get hurt. But of course, you know, Bess goes and tells Nancy. Bess tells Nancy, George, and Aunt Eloise what happened. And of course, they get in touch with the police just to, you know, tell them what's going on. And then the next day, George and Bess go to the police station just to see if they can make any identifications. And then, Aunt Eloise was going to call a friend, Mrs. Becker, because Nancy had an idea about obviously going, getting some rare books and stuff, taking them to Mrs. Becker's house. And that way Mr. Stromberg could go, I guess, check them out for her while Nancy could snoop the shop, which would be smart. So that's what ended up happening. Bess and George, they, you know, keep an eye out, keep people busy while Nancy goes and checks in the back. Obviously, she can't check certain spots because doesn't have a warrant or anything. So she's just doing some basic snooping. Mm-hmm. But then, as Nancy was in the back, she hears Mrs. Truesdale. I want to call her Mrs. Fire Dragon.
Let's call her that. Mrs. Fire Dragon.
So then obviously Nancy doesn't want to go out. Nancy doesn't want to go out to the front because obviously she doesn't want Mrs. Fire Dragon to know that she was there. So she ends up, but then at the same time, there's like this trap door that's opening in the back. So Nancy has to hide. And she's like, where am I gonna hide? I need to find this spot. So then she ends up hiding. I guess like at a desk or something. So and Nancy has just enough space to like see what's going on. And she saw the person who got out of the trap door, and it was the same driver who was trailing George to the hospital while she was masquerading as Chai Chi. And she was thinking, was it the same person who attacked Grandpa Song and took the manuscript? There are very good questions. Nancy then was trying to chase the mystery man because he went out through the trap door. Nancy went that same way. It led back out up to the back alley or like out the cellar area. But then Bess and George gave her away, and Mr. Fire Dragon was not very happy. It seemed like he was going to breathe fire again.
Raging.
So then call the cops, you know, do all that kind of stuff. George is at one, the main entrance. Nancy's at the cellar entrance. Police show up and they go in. Mr. Fire Dragon is nowhere to be found, but he ends up going out a secret back and he's out in the wind. You know, like, where did he go? And so Nancy thought that he could be, you know, skipping town or skipping the country and go to Hong Kong. So, yeah. And so Lily Alice ended up calling later on saying that she visited Grandpa Song at the hospital and he's not doing very well. He suspects that something's going on and he isn't doing any writing. And that's when Nancy thought about Mr. Fire Dragon going to Hong Kong. Lily Alice knows that there's a whole section on a flight to Hong Kong that is reserved for the Chinese and American students from Columbia University. So she offered, you know, she could get Nancy on the plane to go just to do some more sleuthing. And so then Nancy wants to find out, like, all the passengers on the flight. And Nancy had the idea that she could travel with the students while Carson could go on the same flight, but be in first class. So Captain Gray got the passenger list. And who is on the list? Do you remember, Selsa?
Mrs. Fire Dragon.
Yep. She's the only name that, that's the only person that Nancy recognizes on the flight. So Nancy ended up getting in touch with Carson, and Carson's like, sure, let's do this, you know. And Nancy asked if Bess and George could come along. So Carson was going to get in touch with each of their parents just to be sure that was okay. And it was. So then Nancy and Carson decided that they'll be on the flight, but they won't show any recognition with each other, saying that they know one another, just to be on the safe side. And Carson says that Nancy could ask Aunt Eloise to help buy the tickets for the flight. But unfortunately, Lily Alice did end up telling them that if the flight gets filled up with the actual students from Columbia, then the friends couldn't go. So.
But can I interject real quick? Mr. Drew, you cannot be asking a school teacher to be paying for tickets to go to Hong Kong. Those are not cheap. That's what I thought. So when I first read this book, I was a kid, and then I reread it for the episode, and I was like, oh, no, Mr. Drew. They might be going from here to, like, Poughkeepsie, but they're not making it to Hong Kong on a teacher salary. But so that was my one little tidbit. I had to add, like, little bombastic side eye.
So then Nancy, Bess, and George and Aunt Eloise decided to go out to eat that night for dinner as, like, a going away party, I guess, kind of thing. So after they had gotten their table, Nancy decided to go to the stationery shop just to, because she knew that they were open late, to talk, I guess, to the owner. As she was going, she got knocked unconscious with a vase that someone pushed, and she got hit on the head. So it was obviously, like, a big commotion. Mm-hmm. And so Bess and George obviously were going to go check it out. Aunt Eloise stayed with Nancy. The neighbor on the second floor, she's like, no, I don't have a plant like that. Doesn't look familiar. But she said the neighbor on the third floor had a plant that looked just like it. So they go up, check, no one's home. So someone must have had a skeleton key to get the apartment open, push it, and then leave. So then late after, two Chinese men ended up chasing after a red-haired man who fled the scene after Nancy got hit with the pot, and a policeman was there. And both George and Bess confirmed that he was the one who actually kidnapped and tried to kidnap both of the cousins. The man, whose name on his ID was Ferdinand Breen, he denied everything that the friends had said, but by his reaction, he seemed guilty. So he got taken away and he's off to jail. Nancy ended up seeing Grandpa Song at the hospital the next day because she was worried. He was worried, eaten anything all day because of how worried he is. Grandpa Song's twin brother was the head of the police department in Hong Kong, or like Shanghai, and he said that his brother can help with the case because he worked with the police department. And then Aunt Eloise ended up getting a call about if Nancy keeps interfering and gets on the plane to Hong Kong, it will get blown up. So that's scary. So actually, Nancy didn't go see Grandpa Song. I think it was Bess and George that went to go see him. Nancy was
still, you know, recovering from the flower pot to the head. That broke my heart because the way that they described him was just, I believe it was like he was listless and pale. And I thought, you know, that just tells you like how much he misses, you know, Chai Chi. And, you know, and again, you know, I just couldn't imagine like my life's work just being like snatched up from me like that all at the same time. So I just know like the stress is probably what's causing him to like look the way that he does. Poor guy.
Yeah. This is the part where Nancy is up and about and feeling better. She ended up finding a microphone behind some curtains in the kitchen. So that's how the intruders ended up knowing all of their plans. Mm-hmm. So Nancy decided to be like, let's just cancel this. We're not going to go. Just to make sure that the bad guys are like, okay, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to give up kind of thing. But then eventually they kept looking around for more microphones, but there was none. And then we find out from the police that Ryle, his name is Riley Moot, was a top member of the gang. He planted the mic. He called someone by the name of Smitty. Smitty was with Breen in Chinatown. And those are the men that Nancy and Bess were following. And then Ryle was the one who set the firecracker, I guess, because he had a firecracker in his pocket when the police caught him. Captain Gray checked with Interpol, and the men who were caught could be involved with the smuggling ring, which essentially they were. So then the friends end up going to the airport. They see Carson. Of course, they don't talk to him. They see Mrs. Truesdale or Mrs. Fire Dragon. They going on to the plane, but she kept asking them questions about going to Hong Kong. And they got annoyed, especially Nancy. Mm-hmm. Once everyone's seated on, like, get out of here, lady. Like, leave him alone.
Leave us alone. What are you doing on this plane? Why are you here?
Yeah. Then once everyone was on the plane, the police ended up wanting to check everyone's hand luggage before takeoff. And this is like, is there actually a bomb on the plane? Like, what's happening?
Bess is ready to get off the plane, by the way.
Of course.
She's ready to go.
And then, yep. And then, of course, Mrs. Fire Dragon is annoyed for having to get her bag checked. I kind of see where she's coming from. Like, I wouldn't want my bag checked either. But I also agree with George and had to smile because she is a pain. Eventually, Nancy and Carson were able to chat and catch up a little bit about everything that's been going on. As they were getting to Hong Kong, Nancy saw Ned out the window. Carson ended up getting to Ned first when he got off the plane. And we find out that Ned ended up booking a suite at the Peninsula is like an actual suite with 3 bedrooms and a living room.
Something small, you know. Small and understated.
Yeah. Then we learn that about a Mahjong. It's a game. One of the Mahjong shops is owned by someone named Lung It means dragon in Chinese. And so Nancy and Ned decide to go. Nancy thought his shop was creepy. And just after they left, because they wanted to look at the Mahjong sets, but they didn't want to get anything. Just after they left, Mrs. Fire Dragon entered and, you know, talking to him about stuff. And I'm like, is she involved with the smuggling ring?
Or is she just really annoying?
Yeah, she really is annoying. Mrs. Fire Dragon goes into the shop. She shows Mr. Lung a piece of paper. And she ended up, she thought she put it in her purse, but it fell to the ground and neither one of them noticed it. So after Mrs. Fire Dragon left, Nancy and Ned went back into the shop. They wanted to buy a Mahjong set. So when Mr. Lung went, you know, he turned around, Nancy picked up the paper from the floor and it was a cover to a package of firecrackers, which is fishy. So it seems like she is, Mrs. Fire Dragon is a part of the ring, it seems like. And then we learn that she's also staying at the peninsula so they can kind of keep an eye on her. Bess and George are going to go shopping with her just to see if they can find out any more information. But of course, we'll see how that goes. So Nancy and Ned decide to take a helicopter ride to see if they can find any more information about the Mahjong sets, where they're getting transported to, how they're made, I guess, kind of thing. So as they're at the helicopter place, Nancy was walking to a helicopter that she thought that she and Ned were going to use. Then someone had popped their head out of it, saying that she was Chai Chi and wanted to talk to Nancy about the stories, about what happened, but eventually it was a trap. She was not Chai Chi soon, and Nancy ended up getting trapped, and they're going to Taipei, which is scary.
That is so scary, yeah. But also, I was just thinking, like, you know, did they forget, like, what she looked like? Did they forget? But I don't know. But Miss Truesdale, again, is my favorite, because even in, I think it was, like, as they were leaving the Mahjong shop, you hear her being all cheap, like, you charge too much, and, like, being aggravating and rude in the corner, like, always. But please continue, sorry. I just had to point that out.
Yeah. So then Nancy ended up getting tied up, and she hoped that either Ned could save her or there would be another plane flying that could rescue her. Nancy used her lipstick to write SOS on one of the windows of the plane, and she put the curtains so that her captors wouldn't see it. Ned ended up seeing what happened, so he told the man at the control center, I guess, what had happened. So luckily there were other aircrafts ready and willing to help. Cord was the one on the helicopter with Nancy. He was the only one who knew how to fly the plane. So he decided to surrender because he ended up getting surrounded by all the other planes. The three captors were eventually arrested but refused to talk. So Nancy shared the information that she knew. And then Nancy and Ned seemed to find, they got their helicopter, they found the farmhouse where the smuggling is happening, or part of it anyway. So Mr. Song, Grandpa Song's brother, will send the police to follow the driver that Nancy and Ned saw, and the farmhouse will be searched as well. See what else is going on. And of course, Nancy needs to have some patience and wait for Mr. Song to call with any news, so that way Nancy and Ned could do some sightseeing. Nancy and Ned went to a performance, and it was like a large family picnic because there were lots of families there, and Nancy really enjoyed it. Eventually, Ned took Nancy to Aberdeen to see the water, and it also looked like a city of boats. Ned ended up ordering lots of food when they were out at dinner, and Nancy thought it was like a Chinese dinner, but Ned said that the portions were smaller, so that was good at least, so hopefully they wouldn't get full too fast. And then eventually Bess and George walked in with Mrs. Fire Dragon. They were with her all afternoon shopping. And then we learn if someone else was going to stay with Mrs. Fire Dragon for now. I'm guessing it was one of the police members. Then we find out that possibly the Mahjong sets were being made out of gold at the farmhouse. And Mr. Song invited the group to a party later that he's hosting. And he asked if George could dress up as Chai Chi for like part of the plan that he's working on. So before the party, the group ends up going to do some sightseeing. And then, so this is the next day. During lunch, we meet two of Ned's friends from the college, Charlie and Philip. They said that they were called to the president's office and were told two men were inquiring about Ned, saying he was a menace and should be ordered back to the college because of all the stuff that's going on. But those two mystery men seem like they're the ones that were involved and trying to cause more trouble. So Ned explained, was trying to say kind of like what's been going on with the case. And so then later that night, they're at the party. Ned explained that with each Chinese event, they start with fireworks. So everyone split up. Nancy saw Mr. Fire Dragon sneaking up behind Mr. Song, and Mrs. Fire Dragon saw George as Chai Chi and was surprised. Ned got to Mr. Stromberg, but Nancy was walking over to them to see kind of like, I guess, what was happening and stuff. But she ended up getting caught by two men and a Eurasian woman, and they all caught her and were taking her away. Then Mrs. Truesdale and Mr. Stromberg were taken away by the police for what was going on with everything. Nancy was taken to a junk. I have no idea what that is. I guess it's like a boat or something.
Like a houseboat, right? Or something like that.
Maybe.
It's like
I don't know what it is.
It's like a boat. I know it's a boat of some sort. I can't remember exactly what kind. It's like one of those, like, I don't know. I don't wanna speak and say something crazy. But I know it's a boat of some sort. I don't know exactly what kind though.
Yeah. So then Nancy officially met Chai Chi. Mr. Breen took Chai Chi's keys. He overheard Aunt Eloise asking Nancy to come solve the mystery, and he was frightened away by the superintendent. Chai Chi ended up, she did hear the plans about the smuggling and confirmed that Mrs. Truesdale, Mr. Stromberg, and Mr. Lung, the Mahjong man, the owner place, they were essentially the ringleaders. And because of Lung's last name, the group adopted the dragon as a password. Eventually, Nancy and Chai Chi managed to escape, got to a passing sampan boat. Nancy introduced Chai Chi to everyone since everyone was at the hotel. Grandpa Song's script was in Lang's shop because there was a whole other story about that. And Grandpa Song, I guess, was but gonna dedicate or acknowledge the book to Nancy, Bess, and George. So that's essentially the book.
but we do find out why Mr. Stromberg had shown up to the apartment, and it was basically to set up an alibi. So like if somebody had opened the door, he could say, well, he would have said like, well, you know, clearly I didn't have anything to do with it because I'm asking about, you know, Chai Chi and her job. So that's why he has shown up unexpectedly. Or, well, unexpectedly in quotation marks.
I feel like it was really rushed at the end when he found out all the information about what happened. I would have liked it more if it was spaced out within the last few chapters, I feel like.
I think that I think that's kind of an issue with all of the books, and particularly like in this particular number range, because usually like they do a great job of fleshing out the issue and like you know, having Nancy like find the clues and stuff like that. But it's almost like, oh, we gotta solve the mystery, and she found it. Everybody's fine. Thanks, bye. You know, kind of like. It's almost like they feel like they're like in a sitcom kind of situation where they have 30 minutes or less to solve it. I would have loved to have found out, like, I always, you know, I'm the kind of person like, well, why did Mrs. Truesdale join? Like, it was it the offer of money? Like, was she, you know? And so I love that, like, it ties up neatly in the end, but I hate that it ties up neatly at the end because you're always left with a lot of questions. But the last book that we looked at together, it was the same way too. Like, they spent a really good chunk of time like fleshing out like all the mishaps that Nancy went through, and then all of a sudden it was like, well, she did this because she was broke and she wanted money and da 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 da. Okay, the end. And Nancy skis off into the sunset. So yeah, I think that's a common issue that I think they have, is just, I don't know if it's because they want to stay under and that would be something that'd be interesting to find out. I don't know if it was just always like these want to stay under like 200 pages, or they just want to like just wrap it up, you know, to be a, I don't know. The true mystery. The mystery will never fall.
Yeah. It wasn't really my favorite one. It was all right though.
It was, these are okay. I think I find that they come back up and they come back in an upswing, like from like number 40, which is the Moonstone Castle mystery. And they actually like, and I think that's because those are written in like the, I guess, early to mid 60s, early 70s. Those start to get really cool because like now you can see the advent, you know, like there's the one that's called the Crooked Bannister, like there's a robot, and that's super, super cool because like you get to see like how technology really plays a role in it, in the development of the stories. But it's always, I don't know, it's always interesting just to kind of see how they evolve with the times, because they do essentially keep the essence of Nancy the same. And I love that though. One of my favorite like minor moments, and you had talked about it, was, you know, Ned is a menace, so we don't want to kick him out, we just don't want him to go anywhere. He's enough of a menace for God to keep him, but not enough of a menace to let him leave the property.
So
what exciting things do you have coming up? What exciting episodes are coming up?
So for the whole month of April, it is movie month. So we are talking about the last four movies. And those are the 1930s movies with Benita Granville. And the last episode of that month is our movie ranking episode. So we'll be ranking all the movies. So,
God, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what y'all think.
So next week we're talking about the first movie, 1930s movie with Benita Granville, a Nancy Drew detective. So stay tuned for that. Thank you, Salsa, for joining. This was fun.
So thank you for having me. It's always such a good time. It's always a good time, and I can't wait to come visit again soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You can find us on Instagram at River Heights Buzz. You can email us at riverheightsbuzz@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the River Heights Buzz Podcast Central Buzz. And you can follow us on Twitter at River Heights Buzz with just one Z. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure to keep an eye out for our next episode.